Workers and companies, all wondering what the Trump economy holds for them. For Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. It is Jobs Day tomorrow. This employment report will cover the transition period between the Obama and Trump administrations. It is President Trump's economy and job market from here on out, meaning right or wrong, he'll get praise and blame for what comes next. Let's talk about that and more with our regular guest, Diane Swonk at DS Economics. Hello, Diane.
Good morning.
So what should we be watching for in this next report?
What really is important to watch for is, one, there is a lot of increases in minimum wage at the state and local level, and that could put a damper on leisure and hospitality hiring, which has been a very strong sector. One final issue is, of course, uncertainty about the Affordable Care Act. Some of our strongest hires have come in the healthcare sector. I expect that to continue because we had a surge in healthcare signups on the Affordable Care Act at the end of the year and the beginning of the year. However, there could be sort of some hesitation to continue that hiring given the uncertainty that the Affordable Care Act faces going forward.
All right, let's talk about companies, because right now Wall Street is taking in a lot of earnings info. What could we see going forward in terms of what industries are going to be winners and losers as the new administration, as the Republican Congress puts in new policies?
Many of these industries thought only pro-growth, that they would get the benefits of infrastructure spending, defense spending, and cuts in taxes. Instead, now they're seeing protectionist policies overshadow that, which means big losers in the manufacturing sector and in the retail sector without the assurances that there will be winners in those other sectors. And so uncertainty is one of those things that replaces optimism and causes hesitation instead of determination in where we go going forward.
Okay, we'll see what happens. Diane Swonk, thanks again.
Thank you.
British Prime Minister Theresa May has reasons to be cheerful at the European Union summit in Malta tomorrow. Her Brexit bill, authorizing her to start talks to leave the EU, won a key vote in Parliament. And fresh from her White House visit, she has hopes for a free trade deal with America. But closeness to Trump is not seen as a good thing by everyone in Europe. Stephen Beard reports from London.
In Parliament, Prime Minister May taunted the leader of the opposition. Could he have equaled her own recent success in America?
Would he have been able to lay the foundations of a trade deal?
No.
Would he have got a 100% commitment to NATO?
No.
But while May's supporters are thrilled she hit it off with President Trump, among her European partners, it's not playing so well.
The change in Washington puts the European Union in a difficult situation.
The head of the European Council, Donald Tusk, ranked the new American president alongside Russia, China and radical Islam as a threat to the future of the EU. Can May expect a warm welcome in Malta tomorrow?
I think the reception she's going to get is going to be pretty frosty.
John Springford of the Centre for European Reform says most EU leaders don't appreciate May cozying up to the new, highly controversial president. And he says that Trump's offer of a free trade deal with Britain will hinder her Brexit negotiations.
A lot of Europeans see this as essentially the UK trying to use the deal to blackmail the EU into giving lots of concessions to the UK, and they don't take it very kindly.
But others argue that security may well trump the European worries about Brexit and the new president's apparent hostility to the EU.
But I think that people do recognise that there has to be a relationship with the United States. The US is the only game in town when it comes to security.
Stephen Booth of the Open Europe think tank says by extracting at least a verbal commitment to NATO from President Trump, May has proved her worth to the rest of Europe.
If the UK can focus US minds on the importance of NATO, the UK will remain of value to the European Union.
And therefore worth doing a generous deal with.
Yes, I think that would be the logic.
But he accepts the rest of the EU may pursue a different logic, that if the bloc is to survive, Brexit must not be a success. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Amazon announces earnings this afternoon. It said this week it'll open its own air cargo hub in northern Kentucky and that it's already got 16 delivery planes in service. Marketplace's Andy Euler reports on whether Amazon could challenge UPS and FedEx.
In the short term, the answer is no. David Ross is transportation analyst at Stiefel.
Amazon is the first mega e-tailer, but their business is not owning and operating trucks and aircraft.
Amazon's got some trucks and now a handful of planes. UPS and FedEx have a combined 200,000 vehicles and more than 1,000 planes. But Scott Mushkin at Wolf Research says Amazon could pull a Walmart, which developed its own distribution network starting in the mid-1980s.
With Amazon, I think the same thing is going on. I think they are becoming, you know, a very sophisticated logistics company.
Amazon says the air cargo hub in northern Kentucky will employ 2,000 people, and there's room to grow. James Weinbrake teaches at Rochester Institute of Technology.
Everything from the location of the hub to how they're building it out points to, you know, longer-term competition with UPS and FedEx.
But for now, Amazon's still just trying to deliver its own products. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And finally, we often hear about the sorry state of American roads. Here is a little hard data on that. FedEx trucks are burning through tires twice as fast as they used to. Our friends at Quartz noticed that tidbit in congressional testimony yesterday from CEO Fred Smith. He says growing potholes are increasingly eating into FedEx tires. President Trump has called for a major infrastructure plan. Democrats agree with him in general, though not on how to get it done. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.